Now your recording has started, so you can call to order and do it now.
All right, call to order. Let's identify everybody on this call. This is John LaFelt, Chair.
Lila Taylor.
Brett DeBrucker.
Sue Brown.
George Edwards.
Jim Brown.
Mike Honeycutt and Donna Wilhelm.
Is that it?
I think so. I don't hear anybody else.
John Scully's there, isn't he?
He's here with us.
Okay, he got that. Okay, good enough. Discussion of the Deputy Executive Officer position. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I would suggest that we, I think there's been some inclination that we need to probably refer to candidates by number. Mike sent out a letter to that effect, numbering the candidates 1 through 7. It isn't absolutely necessary to do that, but until we establish our final process, it's probably good.
And it's I was good. Mm-hmm.
It's my understanding that we are to pick or identify candidates to be interviewed and then establish a process for doing that.
Isn't the process pretty soon? Board, everybody's on the number deal, right? You got that in front of you, 1 through 7. And we want to refer everybody by numbers. No names here, if you can. And so what's the board's choosing as far? You want to take it down to 4 and then because this individual basically is going to be under Mike, I would think the board would want Mike to have the final say on the individual because he's going to work on a daily basis with this individual. What's your discussion on that, board?
Well, I actually think that we need to take Mike's recommendation, but I think it's the board's job because we're the director.
Well, we're the director, but we're not the daily director. I mean, you know.
But we're still the director, and the director should hire.
Mm-hmm.
It's in our guidelines that way.
It is, and to the fact that that's how it states. On the other hand, there's, you know, a certain amount of micromanaging that that the board has got to kind of have a hands-off approach also, because this has got to be an individual that Mike handles and works with. That's an important thing, because that relationship's the relationship that basically the department's going to sink or swim on.
Well, you and I just disagree on that. So.
Yeah, and this is Lila. I kind of disagree. I'm having a little bit of trouble with this deputy director anyway, as all of you well know. But I think, should Mike keel over, God forbid, that if this person is really what the title says, then we should have a hand in it. If it's not going to be what the title says, then that might be something different. But a deputy director to me means he steps in, or she, if something happens to Mike. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's possibly right. I mean, that's going to be up to the board once again, because like John stated, we are the director. But on a daily work basis, Mike's going to be the man that's going to be, you know, putting this person to task and wanting to make sure this individual has the capabilities to perform what needs to be performed for the betterment of the department. And not necessarily do they step in. Well, since this board's been in place, we've lost our executive one time, and, you know, we got by there for 7 months. I mean, you know.
Well, it's in the job description that way. That's what's going to happen.
Okay. So today we've got 7 individuals. Is there inclination to narrow that down to 4, 3, 2, 1? What's the board's preference here?
Well, I've got 4 on my list.
Anybody else? Anybody else?
I don't know. I can't. This is Lila. I'm not sure I know. I'm not sure I know. I could probably pick 4, yeah, but it's fine if we want to do it that way.
Hmm?
Well, I'm assuming, well, Mr. Chairman, that what we're going to do here is identify candidates for interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And then those candidates are interviews.
Mm-hmm.
So you
exactly.
You could pick one or you could pick seven.
Mm-hmm.
I just said I have four on my list responding to your comments about narrowing it down. So
yeah. Well, I would say 3 to 4 individuals out of seven should be somewhere in the board's preference. I'm just looking for input by the board. Brett?
I'm trying to track this stuff down for the numbers. I don't have that with me.
Sue?
I could pick 4. This is Sue.
So we'll go with the number 4 then. Fine.
I have a request. In the job description, John Scully, is CPA specific?
Yes, CPA is specific. Mike and I talked about that, and it is CPA, but there is a phrase at the end that would allow you, for example, one of my 4 is not a CPA, but has an MBA. So an equivalent could be used because there's a catch-all phrase at the end. But we did not, okay. It is not on there that says that CPA or equivalent. It says CPA, and then at the end, there's a catch-all phrase that allows it. So Mike and I talked about that. Mike, are we on the same page?
Yeah, we're on the same page, and for the screening process, the 7 candidates that made it through that application material screen that you were sent the information for, the determination there was that, yes, there are a couple of folks in that do not have a CPA, but they have the equivalent experience and educational background. In other words, everyone who's there, if they don't have a CPA, the ones that don't, could probably sit for the CPA exam tomorrow. They meet the requirements for the length of time in service as an accountant. They have a bachelor's degree, which is a requirement. They all could easily get a CPA. Anyone who would never even be eligible to qualify for a CPA, that was part of the reason why some of those applicants were screened out. Does that help clarify?
Yeah, it helps. I just have, are we going to require they get it, or are we going to not?
No, you don't have to require that they get it. The notion is that what background they have and experience they have is equivalent to.
Right.
Okay. Because
so
you don't
want to hire somebody conditioned upon them getting a CPA. It's your in your selection process, you're saying that the experience is equivalent to the CPA. As Mike said, they could take it because they've got the background, the education, or whatever.
Okay. I just didn't want to have something conditional on something getting done, as we did in a previous hire, and then it never got done.
Yep.
So I'm quite fine with it, the way you explained it, but if it's conditional, I wouldn't go for it because then we didn't follow through with it. So, but that's you're right, and then that helps. Thanks, John. Scully. I guess I'll just call you Scully because I'm not used to calling you John Scully.
Fine with me. You can call me anything you want.
But don't call him late for dinner.
Yeah, well, that part.
This is George. Call him doctor.
There
yeah. Get us all in trouble, right? Well, I'm bashful, so I'll start. My 4 are candidate number 1, number 2, number 4, and number 7. Candidates 1 and 2 and 7 all have a CPA. Candidate number 4 does not, but I think that candidate has a overwhelming background relative to experience that makes that person a very good candidate for interview.
Are you taking this down, Mike?
I am.
All right. Nina?
Yep.
Your 4 candidates?
To be honest with you, I did not pull it down to four. When Mike started with this, you had how many?
19.
He had 19 people, and I figured if he pulled it down to seven, there was a reason why he picked those seven. And that maybe we should have some input from him why he picked those seven, as opposed, other than the CPA stuff.
Yeah, I can answer that. I mean, bottom line, so I'll talk about the screening process a little bit that I used. So I basically made it a mathematical problem and highlighted the top or the actual required minimum requirements of the position. There were about four of those, weighted those, and then rated the candidates on a 1-3 scale or a 0-3 scale, 0 being they don't have it, 3 being they exceeded it, and 2 being that they have it. So that gives you an idea of how you do the math. And then there were a list of the other preferred qualities that we had listed in the job description, and I rated on those. So the 7 that are in front of you scored highly in that process. I won't say they're the exact top 7 in the scores, but then the second tier was to go and look at that background and say, okay, if they're missing a minimum qualification or something that we said was required in the job description, what is it they're missing, and do they have equivalency or can they attain it? And when the answer to that question was no, it didn't really matter to me how highly they scored in other areas because they were not meeting one of our minimum criteria. Great candidate, but not meeting or even have equivalency to our minimum criteria. So that's how that pool of 19 got down to 7, to the 7 you have. So, but all 7, I will say, were within the top 10. They were in the top half of the scores based on that the scores that the scoring process that was used for the screening, and then of course that secondary evaluation on their criteria. So that's how we got to these 7.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, this is Nina. I had a little heartburn about all of the applicants, and I did not take time to go back and pull the job description. But I was thinking, and Lila kind of brought this up, about a deputy executive director, and this is certainly not the job description that we asked of Mike. And a deputy executive director is supposed to be someone who can cover for Mike should God help us, anything happened to him. And so I had some difficulty reading these in that it sounded more like we were hiring a CPA as opposed to someone to fill in for Mike's shoes should that be necessary.
Well, remember, Mr. Chairman, this is Scully. Remember, we had this discussion previously, and that we targeted the job description towards someone who would be more of a CFO type and could step in on interim because most of our troubles are in relative serious troubles are in the financial arena when they occur, and therefore you needed somebody not that is a politician, not that I'm saying Mike is, but I'll use that extreme in that process because he has to be all of that. So if you had somebody who just came in politically as wanted to be an appointee, you wanted somebody with qualifications more like a CFO. And had we been able to name the title, we could have named it that way better and used the talents better than having a, quote, deputy director that looks just like him.
CFO is?
Chief John? Financial Officer.
Yeah. Huh? Well, Chief Financial CFO. Officer. Okay.
Chief Financial Officer.
Oh, I see.
We looked into whether we could change the title. We can't because it came out of the. Mike and I both looked into it.
Yep. I remember
the title
that
because it came out of the legislature that way.
Mm-hmm.
So craft the job description more like the CFO, and then change it later.
Yep. Okay.
And then one other thing, and then Mike ran it through the administrative process at the state relative to bracketing salaries and stuff, which whenever we choose somebody to fill the job, will be bracketed by that job description
mm-hmm.
that was turned in. Not a mini Mike job description.
Right, right. Not a mini Mike. Mm-hmm. Okay, Sue?
Mr. Chairman, I was looking at it in terms of being able to supervise lots of people,
mm-hmm.
Being able to be places Mike couldn't be. I feel like they all are, you know, good in the accounting areas. They all have experience working with government. So I mostly looked at, you know, how many people they oversaw, whether they could talk to people, their people skills. I really felt like all of them had excellent experience when it came to the understanding financing. So
mm-hmm.
that's how I based mine. Do you want my numbers?
Yes, ma'am.
2, 6, 3, and 5. I just feel like Mike can't be everywhere at once. And I know, yes, we have issues with all the financial stuff, but, we want it to be kind of a half-and-half job. And like I say, everybody seemed like they understand working with government and working with numbers.
Brett?
I got it down to 2 and 4.
You're at 2 and 4?
Yeah.
That's good. And your considerations were people skills or?
You know, I just. All the above.
All above. Sounds good. Lila.
Part of the reason I was asking about the CPA part is I had the other three that Scully had, that's why I was asking about 4. I do like, and I wanted to make sure that what the answer to that question was. So I pretty much agree. I think there's a lot of good qualities in a lot of those people. It was interesting. I think they all bring something a little different. I'm not sure I care that they know what government is necessarily. I just want to make sure they know how to work with people. And I'm thinking about the lab. I mean, this position in my mind is to try to get something done with the lab and kind of keep tabs on it. So those are fine with me. Any of the, you know, those 4 would be great for me to interview. I think it gives you a variety to look at. And
Mr. Scully's 4.
Yeah,
same
one. Like I said, I had the 3, but I couldn't let myself have 4 if it was meaning that that person had to pass the CPA, because I'm not going for that conditional crap anymore. So, thanks.
Okay.
Thanks.
Mr. Chairman, I think we need to also remember, just because we call people in and interview them, does not mean that we have to hire any of those people we interview. We can go back to our list and have other people come in and interview them as well.
Exactly. So have I missed anybody?
You.
Myself. I got that much. Nobody else out there. 4 and 7. I was looking for 3 people. I just to get it fast. So you'll tally that up, Mike, and then we'll draw those people in and for the interview. You're going to do the interview just as on the standard state job interviews, or are we going to conduct or connect some sort of an interview process ourselves?
Well, to address the first thing, the tally's pretty easy.
Yep.
I think the four that sort of stand out or have more than one or two people with their name beside them are candidates 1, 2, 4, and 7. And I can say from having looked at all this information, I don't have a problem with that myself personally either. And because I think you know, they're as I think Nina maybe said, or Lila, I can't remember who said, they're all great candidates. I like Nina's point too, that if for some reason you strike out, you can do two things. You can go back to those other three that we're not talking about interviewing today and interview them, or you can start over again. You got that option. The one thing as far as the process goes, I think the board needs to determine how they want to do the process. I think from the beginning we've talked about that there'd be a level of board involvement because of the issues that's already been raised, so there's no need to point those out. It's just a question of whether you want to do a committee of the board, full board. You know, that I think is something the board needs to decide. As far as the interview process itself, whether you do it public or do it with a committee, it'll be run by a process that passes muster with state hiring practices.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know out there listening somewhere is another attorney, so I better say that. But it will follow and conform. Even if we do it in a public meeting, it'll need to follow and conform to those practices.
Okay. Any insights, board?
Let me just add some clarity to Mike's comments, because I think he hit it right on the nose. But emphasize that what he said was that if you have a board of three, you could probably do it privately. But if you have a board of four or portions of the board with four people or more doing it, then it would for sure have to be public.
Right.
So there's about three different options, right? One is to have a subcommittee of the board do it. Two is to have the whole board do it. Or three is to have the whole board or those that can show up do it. So you wouldn't offer the job at that point anyway. You'd have to bring it back for
mm-hmm.
vote to offer the job.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had various interviews set up and somebody couldn't make it, then you can still go on with it. But it has to follow the process has to be identical for each one.
Right.
Right.
Well, it's my preference to have three board members there. Do you have any hiccups with that, Mike?
Well, no, I don't have any hiccups with that at all. Or,
okay.
Or you know, that's you know, perfectly fine. Like I said, and as John would say, if you're saying doing it with only three, just to clarify, I don't want to be over-explanatory, but I do want to make sure everybody understands. So what John is saying is if you did it with three, then we wouldn't have to notice and do it publicly,
mm-hmm.
but the recommendation of that hiring committee would have to come back to the full board before it would be officially offered.
Exactly.
The problem with that is that you wind up with a majority of the board not being present for interviews, and that may not sit well. Whereas the other way, if you can't make it, you can't make it, but you had the opportunity to make it, and then you can go on with the recommendation a lot easier than you can if the majority of the board is absent. That's the critical issue.
Any other input from the board?
My question was...
Go ahead, Lila. Or Sue.
Well, I was just going to ask if you were considering trying to get them all in one day, or how are you thinking
about it? Mike, I was going to address that. I think you want to do it all on one day, because if you're doing public meetings, so let's think through this. If you're going to do it with more than three board members, and you've got to notice it, and you've got to do it publicly, you can't have one on one day and everybody gets to watch their interview before they come in and watch
mm-hmm.
it, do their interview the next day.
Yep.
That's not exactly probably fair to all candidates.
No.
Yep. And also for scheduling purposes, I mean, you are all busy. So, you know, I would want to do it on one day because odds are trying to get the same four or five board members, ever how many end up showing up, on multiple dates. I mean, it's hard enough to get you guys for a regular board meeting. So my concern would be getting it spread out over multiple days. You might get down to where only two people could be there at every interview, and then why are you public noticing? Why are you doing that if only two people were able to participate? So I think there's a lot of advantages to trying to get it all on one day. And we also have to take into account some of these candidates may not be available. So, you know, we may find that if we go back and make contact with the four we're talking about, maybe only two of them are even available anymore. They two may say, I've already found a job or something like that. So that, I mean, I don't want to, I also want to make sure you're aware of that. It may come back that we're not, you know, we may not be able to interview all four of those for one reason or another. But my preference for those reasons I stated logistically is why you would want to get them all done on one day at one time.
Yeah,
right.
Chairman, what about if interviews were set up, let's see, we planned our next meeting the 23rd of May. What if interviews were set up for the 22nd of May?
I think Mike wants to do it earlier because of the candidates.
Let's get moving with this thing. If we're going to get it done, that's why I just didn't have three board members present and get moving with it.
Decision on the 23rd.
Yeah. Right, then, we need.
Yeah, I agree.
This is Nina, and I would vote for as many board members as possible on one day for all the interviews.
And I will tell you, because of timing of other things, the week beginning April 30th, ending May 4th, would be the week to do it. Part of it's because next week is a very travel-intensive week for myself, work travel. We have IBMP meeting, Montana Meat Processor Association, a national veterinary stockpile exercise, all piled up on next week. That week after, one of those days would be the day that we would be attempting, if you're working with my schedule, I would be attempting to get 30th. That done. The week of April 30th, April 30th through May 4th.
Okay. Let's
well, we're going to work with your schedule, Mike. That's how this is going to happen. So you go ahead and get a hold of those four people, and we'll get, you know, whatever board can be there. I mean, there's just no guarantees at the present moment. I mean, so it'd be nice to have, I don't know, I don't agree with John on the full board. Somebody's going to have a hiccup, but somebody's going to have a hiccup anyway. So, but like Nina said, if the full board could be there, that'd be fine. We'd get it over with. But it's got to happen relatively soon, and in whatever fashion possible.
FMD exercise.
Is that agreeable to the board? Sue?
Yep. That would be fine that week.
Okay. I'm not sure I'll be done lambing. I don't know where I'll be, so we'll have to see. Still digging out of snow. Brett?
Yeah, I prefer three board members, but I'm not positive I'm going to be there anyway. It depends on what day it is and if we're in the field or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Just depends on the weather. So you're going to set a date, Mike.
Yeah. And I guess the great thing, not knowing the number of board members, means that once a date is set, we're going to public notice it, which also means we're going to record it. So the great thing for the board members that have conflicts that I just thought of is you may not be able to be there, but you can go back and watch the interviews after they're done, and you'll be able to see and provide input as a board member from that perspective. If that makes sense.
And then we'll make the final hire on the next board meeting. Is that what everybody's thinking? Or the final hire will help happen right after the interviews? Probably should happen soon after the interview process. Correct?
Well, it depends on what you got, what kind of results you got, right?
Right.
Right.
You're going to have to decide that then. Let me ask
you
a question. And I should have thought of this before. When we interviewed you, I don't think it was a public meeting.
It was live streamed.
Was it live
streamed? Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was live streamed.
I didn't think it was. All right.
Yeah. Leslie and Nye's interviews for the brands administrator were as well.
Okay.
That's why we got to get them done right then, the same time, so somebody isn't coming back and watching, and you know.
That anyway, I was just.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask a question?
Yes.
all these candidates expect to be public once we keep the ones to interview, right?
I assume they do. If they don't, they won't work.
Okay.
Let me suggest something here. It'd be a shame if we noticed a public meeting and nobody came from the board.
Yeah.
I'm saying that facetiously, but not very.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've had 3 or 4 board members say, well, I'm not sure I can be there. Why don't we ask Mike, put a burden on him to identify dates, contact board members to make sure we've got board members coming.
That'd be a good idea.
I am out of state from the 27th of April until the 7th of May.
Well, that leaves you out.
But this, to me, this to me is so important that if that's the only time we can do it, then I will cancel my trip so that I can be here, because I feel this is an extremely important decision on the part of this board.
I'll go back to my comment and ask Mike.
Mike, just pick some dates, Mike, and get it out to everybody, and let us reply and see what we can get done, huh? Let's move on here.
Yeah,
we can do that. I can get the dates and then see what dates in their work. I mean, obviously, some people already know they have conflicts. One of the things, that's a challenge is not just next week, but then the week after that is the F&D exercise. This building will pretty much be commandeered for that purpose, and it'll require multiple people's input. So that's why you don't want to have anything on that week. And then if you're going to wait to the week after that, then you might as well wait to the board meeting at that point.
Will you be tied up in that deal that second week?
Well, I won't be in the state during that week.
Mike, the other thing that's important, and Lila brought up a good point, is exactly what was in my mind, is, you know, how do we know that these 4 applicants want their name in the public? You know, maybe, you know, if they say they want, they'd rather have it be private, how are we going to appease their wishes so that we can conduct a decent interview and not have them lose their job if we don't choose them for this job? Isn't there some kind of privacy there that we need to adhere to?
Well, that's why I wanted to make it 3 board members. This is John LaFeld, and that way we don't have to notice a public meeting.
Well, but on the other – wait a minute. I mean, you just got done listening to what happened last time with Mike being hired and Leslie being hired. And they're applying for a very private or public job. Most applicants, if not almost all of them, if they're applying for a job and there's a reason, they'll identify that reason during their initial application. None of these people have. And they're all in private, or they're all in public positions now. They already know the rules.
So you see that, John, is not a conflict with any individuals then?
Oh. Well, I mean, there may be somebody in their current organization who doesn't know they applied for a job.
Mm-hmm.
But to a person, if you look at their references, they all name references within their current business operation, every one of them. There's only one of them that person named somebody in their organization. It wasn't the person I thought they would name, but I found curious, but they all named other people in the public entity that they serve as references, so I don't see that's an issue at all.
And
I think the date's a bigger issue.
Well, and then prior to this meeting, just so that's clear, everybody, I did seek legal counsel on that very question. That's one of the reasons we're not mentioning names today, was that there might be some reasonable expectation of privacy at this stage, but once you're a finalist candidate for a public job, that there's probably not a reasonable expectation of privacy at that point.
Right.
Okay. Good. I wondered about that. Okay, so we'll go ahead on the dates that work for Mike, and he'll notify boards about what date he's going to pick and that's going to work with the candidates, and then we'll do our best to be there. Is that what the board's wishes?
Yep.
Yep.
I don't think we can do much else. Anything else, board? Anything else? Mike?
No, you've answered the two questions we have. I think we've got a path forward on the deputy EO. We've got a concrete date for the next full board business meeting on May 23rd, and that's really the only two questions we had to resolve.
All right.
And just so you know,
public
just so you know why we're here, and Helen is that Mike and I and Nina are going to take the policy guidelines deal and get it over with for the meeting.
Good.
And I think I heard Lila say public comment, and she's absolutely right.
Yeah.
If there's members of the public, we do have to make sure we take that before you adjourn.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Public comment from non-agenda items. Jim? Jim Brown? Anybody else out there? Public comments on non-agenda items. Anybody out there? Is the board satisfied?
Yep.
Meeting adjourned.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.